welcome to the Cup and Saucy Book Club. I'm Bark Savage Wolfer.
And I'm Beauregard Lackadaisical Titmouse of the Charlestonian Titmouses.
What's in your cup today, Titmouse?
Water.
I've got water in my cup, too.
Were you supposed to read something?
I don't read, if that's for plebeians.
I agree.
What are you doing in here?
I'm not doing anything.
Nothing.
Give me that. All right.
So now that they are gone, boy, I mean, that was pretty ballsy, I got to say.
It was.
You know.
And goofy. Which pretty much sums up.
You know,
it's
on brand for both of our husbands, frankly.
It really is. It really is. But everybody, our husbands.
Yeah. Listeners, those are our cinnamon roll husbands.
So happy April Fool's Day.
Happy April Fool's Day, everybody. Now that we can get back to the actual business of this podcast and all that silliness is done, what did I give you to read last month?
Technically nothing. You gave me two choices.
Well, okay, yeah.
you gave me Between Never and Forever by Britt Benson and He's Not My Type by Megan Quinn. And this month we asked our fans on socials to give us some feedback on this and to tell me what I should read.
And thank you, listeners, for all your votes, because it was unanimous.
Chose Between Never and Forever by Britt Benson, which we had talked about the previous episode with our guest, Angelina Rocco, because she is one of the narrators of the audiobook.
And the other one is Jacob Morgan. And Zanna, what did you think of Between Never and Forever?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good read. I guess I had heard that it's like emotionally difficult or something like that. And I didn't really find that.
Yeah. Interesting.
It was sad in parts, but it overall had a generally upbeat kind of thing. There was the trigger warnings are there and they're reasonable warnings. I mean, there's things.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there are things that are involved that, especially early on.
Right.
That are particularly bad. And then again, they come up throughout the book as the ramifications of all of those early actions,
right.
I guess.
But I agree. But I think it sets everything up for a happily ever after fairly reasonably quickly enough that it doesn't feel like, you know, some of the books that I've read have been like, this is never going to work. The things that I mentioned that are abusive, very, you know, I mean, they're terrible things that happen to,
yes,
to some of the characters in the book. Those are traumatic.
I
think reasonably quickly you can kind of see that there's a path out or forward through those traumas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas some books I've read have been like, I don't see the path. I don't see how they're getting there. And with this, I do see the path. Go ahead.
And the people responsible for those traumas, you know, it's not always the most satisfying comeuppance for some of them, but they are made to reckon with their, you know, confront their what their actions have done and have caused.
But the plot loops are all a little tighter than expected too. So there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I didn't expect to see certain people again, and come to turn out maybe they're the big bad, you know.
Yeah.
And so, in a way that is, I guess it's literarily satisfying, but you know, realistically not as satisfying.
Right.
I get that there's a good point to doing that in literature because it keeps the character base tight.
Yeah.
And it allows you to go into more depth with some of the characters than you would otherwise get a chance to if you just kind of went through a story as if going through life, where you just are just
right.
going to meet a lot of different people. And some of them are going to be awful and some of them are going to be wonderful. You know, I think that the main character, the main couple, they are...
Levi and Savannah, yeah.
Levi and Sav, or Savannah.
Yeah.
They do grow first apart and then together.
And mature, most importantly.
They mature, which is good, although they tend to bring out the immaturity in each other, I think.
Yeah, but I think that comes from how they know each other. I mean, they've known each other since they were children.
Second grade.
Since second grade. And, you know, he says at one point in the book, ever since you pushed me off a chair and
pushed me off the swing, I think.
Or pushed me off the swing and the...
Yeah, it's like I was in love before I hit the dirt, you know.
But because there is all of this gap of time, mm-hmm. that I think they have to get... The place that they have to get to is from this, you know, idea that they have of the other person... It is frozen in time from the last time that they saw them or right. from all of their memories that right. they have from childhood. And this person is frozen in time for them. And so both of them have to get to a place of here is who this person is now. And I'm right. falling in love with them as they are now,
right.
you know, as opposed to that childhood, you know, I've yeah. loved you all these years.
I can see that. And so one of my issues that I had with Levi is he's a little... overprotective and a little bit,
yeah.
I mean, and he's quite jealous, and which I get through that lens that you're talking about of, you know, this is somebody because he did have to protect her, or he felt
yes,
he had
he
to
did.
Protect her when they were kids, and you know,
that
was his role
because nobody else was, nobody else
right.
cared
nobody
about
else
her.
Was protecting her, nobody else was taking care of her, nobody else was looking out for her or cared anything about her. And they always assume the worst of her.
Right.
But that sort of relationship where he is so protective and so jealous is not healthy moving forward as they, you know, for them to grow as adults together. So
yeah.
like they meet up at various points during their lives together. So
right.
you know, they spend
they meet up when
childhood.
He's in college.
Right.
And then, like, 6 years later.
Right. And I think 6 years yeah. later is, or seven, no. It's
7 years later.
7 years later is when
yeah.
when the main action or the now. So there's
yeah.
three sections of the book. There's before or it's like then, but there's two thens.
Yeah.
There's a then when they're 15 and then there's a then when they're 18. And then there's a now
right.
when they're in their mid-20s.
Right. Because in all that backstory, then when mm-hmm. you get to the now, you not only see them as colored by those past then experiences, plus where they ended it before the 7 year gap,
mm-hmm.
it was bad. It was really
bad. Yeah.
They both had to move on and both make choices. And some of the choices weren't great.
Right.
And some of them were like, we're doing what we have to do. So I think that we can't really, because we have to give away a bit of this, because otherwise there's certain characters that we can't talk about.
True, true.
And I do want to talk about them. So when they are 18, they meet up and he's in college.
He's
on spring break in Miami. Now his parents are very religious and he's a pastor's kid
mm-hmm.
and his mother is extremely religious. Spare the rod, spoil the child is her, like her life motto.
In the worst kind of way.
In the worst kind of way.
I'm not about loving people. I'm about judging people. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, she's from a house where her mom was a drug addict
and abused,
traded sexual favors for and totally abused. She was, you know, Sav was abused too. Levi's mom kept telling him, you know, stay away from her. She's the wrong kind of person and all mm-hmm. of that. So when they see each other on his spring break, she is working as a stripper. And
mm-hmm.
and she also has a band that
right.
she's, you know, plays
different
with
venues.
And then different venues.
Right.
She's,
she doesn't
she's
strip
a singer.
And play. And, yeah.
Yeah.
And
no,
a guitar
player. She's a singer and a guitar player. And
the lead,
you know,
in
they,
the band, basically.
The lead in the band. And they're just starting out and they're playing at, you know, various bars and that
dive
sort of
bars.
Thing.
And right.
Dive bars. And then she strips to pay the bills,
mm-hmm.
but they meet up and they think that everything is going to be okay until he gets a text message from his only other girlfriend from the last time they saw each other.
And it's not even a girlfriend. It's like the only
Other it was
time,
like a one time.
The only other time was, he had sex.
Yeah, the only other time he had sex, and it was somebody, it was somebody whose parents were in the same church as his parents. And so she says that she's pregnant. Instantly split up because she can't believe that, you know. Well, it isn't even that she doesn't trust him, you know, because he said it was one time, we used a condom, whole thing. It's that she knows, or she thinks she knows, that this is the life that he needs to have, and that he will take responsibility for the child, and that, you know, that they're going to
need
to get
married.
There would
be no room for her.
There would be no room for her in that life. Right.
Right.
Then 7 years go by, and now she is hugely successful.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking like the way they describe it, it's like Taylor Swift or Beyonce level.
Right, right.
You know, because she's got fans who are little girls and fans who are, you know, teenagers and so on. And so she's hugely successful, but she's also gone through drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and, you know, had a lot of struggles in that time. And everybody thinks that she has, you know, slept with everyone and everything in the entertainment industry.
Sure.
And then meanwhile, he's been raising this kid because the mother has died. She had cancer.
Although they don't
say that right away, but
yeah, that might be a bit of a spoiler, because that one, although it's sort of obvious, you know.
Yeah, it's sort of obvious. I mean, she's not there.
Right.
But she's not there, and he did marry her, and so he's a widower, but yeah, the kid, Bryn, who is everybody refers to as boss, because
because she's the boss.
She's the boss, you know, and
she's a linguophile.
She is a total linguophile.
She's seven years old,
Bryn.
And she's got this fantastic vocabulary because she's obsessed with words.
Seven going on 35, because she
least.
Is just at least.
But like every day, she'll quiz people on what's the word of the day, and then she'll get them to use the word of the day in a sentence. So she'll give them the word and the definition, and then they have to use the word in a sentence.
And they are all wrapped around her little finger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all of the guys. So her dad owns a construction company now, and this is again, spoiler, but, you know, we're about halfway through the book at this point. But I think in order to talk about anything, we need to sort of
understand,
say, okay, spoilers
are
in effect here.
Right.
Yeah, where people are. So he works for, he owns a construction company, and not only
he's contracted
is he,
with a movie theater or movie studio.
Yeah, with a movie production studio. And so he's contracted to do all the sets. In addition to that, though, he is also doing restoration after a hurricane, because this is taking place in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And there's restoration after a hurricane of the area where Sav used to live when she was a kid. You know, he's also building... He's also built his own house, you know, so all of these things sort of come into play, and that's how, and she is trying to clean up her image, but also take a break from touring, because the touring is nonstop. So
the band is killing her.
Yeah, the band is killing her, and they are near breaking up themselves.
Yeah, one of her bandmates OD'd, and so she's sort of woke her up, and she's like, I'm not using anymore. I need to get clean.
And she's getting clean, and then she decides to take this movie role about an hour from where she grew up, and that's when they meet up again. Levi is, unfortunately, his daughter Bryn is a huge Sav fan.
Yeah, she's a savvy, I guess?
Yeah, she's a savvy.
So she's got her posters up all over her room. This woman that her father has been in love with since he was in second grade, but he's had to basically hate her for the last few years because it's too hard.
It's a survival tactic.
Right. I mean, there's a thin line between love and hate. And so to survive, he had to cross that line to get to the point.
Yeah.
I mean, not like do you harm hateful, but like, I don't want anything to do with you kind of
hate. Yeah. Repulsion, I think, more than.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Not like stalkery hate or anything.
So, okay. So did you listen to this on audio?
I did. So because we talked about this with Angelina Rocca, and she plays Sav and all the other female characters because it's in duet style narration. She also, because Sav is a rock star, she wrote, and also Angelina is a musician. She wrote all the music.
Yes.
For the book, which is not, I guess, a thing that's usually done to have actual singing. Or
no, it isn't.
Rarely done.
It isn't.
I gotta say, she knocked it out of the park with that. I mean, I think that did a really good job of integrating the music into the story so that it wasn't distracting at all.
Right.
It was just it added to the story rather than took away from it.
And I remember that when we talked with Angelina, that one of the things that she said was that she didn't want anything to be too jarring, because when you're a narrator, you're whispering in their ear. And I loved that description of it, because she just, because you were expecting, or at least I was, that there would be a little more, you know, heavy rock sound to it, mm-hmm. you know, given how the band is described and their type of music and all of that.
Right.
It's more of a, I think of it like extremes more than words.
Yeah.
You know, like this almost acoustic,
right.
just like, you know, we're done
like
with the concert,
ballad.
But we still want to jam. And
right.
yeah, and it's
one
like,
of those things that could be, you know, could be something bigger if it's mass, you know, if it's on a big
yeah.
stage with lots of instruments, but it also can be played with an acoustic guitar and
yeah,
or just a voice. And still
this may be calling back to something that many of our listeners don't know, but it kind of gave me MTV Unplugged vibes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
So MTV Unplugged was a show
that's
on
not
MTV
still on?
Where they would. That's not. No, I don't think so. I don't know.
I haven't watched
do they
MTV
do any
in
music
years.
On MTV?
Does MTV
they do
even
any
exist?
Music on MTV anymore?
I don't have cable.
I think it got absorbed. But anyway, when the show MTV Unplugged was on, they would just do acoustic versions of their own
right.
songs. You know, so they're unplugging the guitars, unplugging the amps, you know, it's just
right.
them and a microphone and whatever instruments they have.
I think one of the ones that I remember most vividly was Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Smells Like Teen Spirit, yeah.
Yeah. So that had to be in the 90s.
And then Eric Clapton's Tears in Heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was and it was a more, so, you know, they would often release them as albums, and mm-hmm. Eric Clapton's Unplugged was like, he did another version of Layla that, you know, mm-hmm. ended up reclimbing the charts and
right.
you know, all of that stuff. So, but that was the vibe that her songs were giving me.
Right. Yeah. I got that too.
But I think that she made the right choice in doing that, because, you know, then mm-hmm. you're not like, whoa, 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 you know, and you're, you know,
right.
pulling your headphones away or your earbuds or whatever. Yeah. Because if it's done well, I really mm-hmm. enjoy having music in an audiobook. But
yeah.
there are times when it hasn't been done well.
Right.
So, you know, it's a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
But in Angelina's case, it's a gamble that paid off.
Yeah. Yep, she did a great job.
Using our 5-cup rating system, what do you give Between Never and Forever by Britt Benson?
I really liked it. I didn't love it, so I think I'm going to
yeah.
go with like a 4.
Okay.
Yeah, narration-wise, I'm going to give it a 5 because they did a great
yeah.
job.
Yeah, and they really...
There are some jumps in the narrative that were...
Yeah.
It just seemed like that there was some editing that wasn't done quite as,
right.
as seamlessly as I would like. A couple times gave me a little bit of whiplash. You know, overall, it was a very enjoyable experience listening to it. I got I blasted through it. I listened to it basically in a I listened to half of it on a drive to and from Atlanta, and then I listened to the rest of it while I was just doing stuff around the house. And
yeah.
So it's a longer book. It's 14 hours.
Yeah, it was pretty lengthy. Yeah, this was pretty long. It was 14 and a half hours, which is a good, you know, I mean, it's not as long as some of the ones that we've read that like 20
and,
hours.
And I think that it was, you know, the length of it mostly made sense. I mean, some of the
because how many
it was so much
chunks
backstory,
of time,
right?
Yeah,
and there was so much, you know, and that was so much that they kind of had to build the relationship in the backstory. Some of that worked really well. Some of it didn't work as well. But overall, I think it was well done.
I'm often jarred by, you know, if they spend, at least they didn't go back and forth in time. It was completely linear.
The time travel element thing. Well, not completely. There was a little bit of the now at the beginning. But that's okay. I mean, that sort of tells us that what we're doing is looking back.
Yeah. And you sort of need that as a prologue kind of.
Right. Right.
You know, to set things
up. But in general.
Which I think it did happen, well.
Yeah. And in general, the things that happened in the past kind of stayed in the earlier sections. I felt like it really wasn't. I think the biggest criticism I have of it is that it was trying to decide what kind of book it was going to be. Because, like, the whole third section of the book, the now, could be a standalone book.
Yeah.
And
it could.
And then the before is kind of like, that is important because it makes it a second chance, or really kind of a third chance.
Yeah.
Romance.
I would say third chance, if that's such a thing.
Apparently that's a thing now. But it honestly could have. I mean, it has a lot of different tropes in it.
Right.
But yeah, it could easily have just been that last section with a couple of little throws back to the past and been just as good.
And what about our saucy scale?
So I haven't I failed to go back and like count or anything, but I think that the sexy times that they had were pretty sexy.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good steam there wasn't a whole lot of it, but the steam
but it felt like it wasn't just sexy times to have sexy times.
It was
sexy times had a point.
Yeah, it was well
they
earned
had a point.
Sexy times, and they did have a point. And, you know, it everything from, you know, the second chance, first love kind of sexy times to what, like spite fucking to.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it was straight up hate sex, but it was pretty close.
It was pretty close.
You know? Yeah. Nobody ever talks about this, but I love this sort of transition from, and it happens a lot in enemies to lovers tropes, is this transition from hate fucking to just fucking to now we're making love.
Right.
You know,
right.
And there's sometimes it's seamless and you can't really, you know, call it that. Other times it's like a point of relief. Like when they make love after some tragedy and they're, you know, coming together and celebrating life or, you know, whatever, whatever it is. And then there's just the I love yous have been said and we are cherishing each other. You know, so there's all of these different sort of elements. But I think that in this one, they did get to a point and they also kind of acknowledged it. Like, this is what we are doing.
Right.
Is, you know, now we are making love. It is not just sex. It is not just.
I think I give it four saucers.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was pretty solid.
Yeah.
You know,
it was
steamy times, even for however many there were. Mm-hmm. And we've read some books with almost none, but the one, you know, steamy time you get is like, whoa.
Right.
Yeah, so
this
I think that's a lot more than one,
but and the steamy times are good, but it's not like constantly steamy times. And
yeah, it's not venturing into erotica.
It's not erotica. Right.
Well, and, you know, but I think the mix of all of those, because, I mean, every book that we read is describing different kinds of relationships. And so in those different kinds of relationships, you're going to have different definitions or nuances of intimacy.
That's true.
So sometimes it's, you know, just caresses and touches and small kisses. And then other times it's just like, okay, we're, you know, we can't keep our hands off each other.
Right.
And I think all of the range of those in between makes for a nice variety.
Yeah. So how about you?
For our cup rating, I'll give it, for the story, I give it, also give it a 4. Narration is 5 for the music.
Okay. That's fair.
I mean, I really thought it was a solid performance, and I would have just given it 4.5, but the music took it to 5 for me.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
The accents not being too far away from where I currently live. Yeah. Sometimes they were good. Sometimes they were a little hit or miss with the Southern accents.
Yeah. I find that a lot of times, though, unless they are trying to be very specific, you know, I was listening to something where they spent a little bit of time with her family in Louisiana, and there was like this definite Cajun element, you know, because they went into the bayou and they went into the swamps and everything. But I think that most of the time that authors actually request the accents to be a little more subtle.
Oh, and that's what I'm looking for, too. I was looking for, so sometimes they were a little thicker. And sometimes they were, you know, there was a couple times that it skirted close to stereotype. And then, but most of the time it was pretty subtle.
Yeah. And I also think, too, that the changes in, particularly if you have, like, say, let's say for this example, the male main character has sometimes his accent is a little thicker than other times. I don't actually think that that's a mistake.
Not necessarily. Yeah.
Because I know,
like, around here, if you get off at certain exits, all of a sudden you stay on country because it I mean, you can sound like a perfectly normal person, and then all of a sudden you get off at a certain exit with a certain Waffle House, and all of a sudden you sound country as hell. It varies. Mileage may vary.
And this California girl spent 4 years in Georgia and came away saying y'all and fixin' to and ma'am and sir for everything. You know, I get it. And then I also have friends who are from the South, but, you know, are living somewhere else. But you can tell when they've just gotten off the phone with their families because suddenly they're a little more, you know, the inflections are changing.
People tend to mirror the people they're talking to.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like when I get off the phone with people from my home state of South Dakota, and I suddenly sound like my husband says, my O's make it to critical length. Yeah. All you have to do is get on the phone with them.
And suddenly we're talking about a hot dish. Yeah. So I think that type of thing with a narrator's accent that kind of comes and goes depending on where they're in the conversation. I think that is actually more authentic than if they went back and say, no, it has to sound the same all the way through, because nobody's voice sounds like that.
That's also true. Yeah, I'll give them a pass on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, because I thought it was just enough to let you know where they were. You know, because like other books I've listened to where they're supposed to be in the South, and I'm like, they don't sound like they're from the South.
South Bronx?
This is like south of South Bronx, you know, and I mean, you know, Southern Jersey. I don't know. It just doesn't sound. It doesn't sound like the South to me. But your next assigned reading, it's not. I'm not doing a romance for you this time, Zanna.
What?
But we are. We are doing something romance adjacent.
Okay.
So this one is one that I read, listened to, and it stuck with me for a long, long time. Okay. So this is more of a favorite, but that does not mean that you can't, you know, give your honest review. I just want to see what you think. It's called The Keeper of Happy Endings by Barbara Davis, and this is performed by Robin Siegerman and Hope Newhouse. It's a multi-generational family saga, but there are romance elements throughout. And in fact, there's a couple of love stories going on through the generations.
Okay.
This does take place as early as World War II in Paris, and then comes to New England. And and so there's three generations going on, and there's a lot of family secrets and, you know, and think like stories are interwoven together. And it's, I just think it's a beautiful story.
Sounds
and
good.
If you would like to read along with Zanna for The Keeper of Happy Endings by Barbara Davis, please visit our website, Cup and Saucy Books, for links and show notes.
You can also follow us on social media at Cup and Saucy Books. We're on Threads, Instagram, and TikTok. Let us know if you have a book you would like us to review on the show. If you like what you're hearing, subscribe on your favorite pod platform and leave us a review.
Thank you for joining us for the Cup and Saucy Book Club. A sneak peek of the episodes this month. April 8th is author Rebecca Black and her husband, Mr. Black, who have a wonderful TikTok review that they do called hashtag Pillow Talk. And they were so much fun to talk to, even in the morning, because they are in the UK.
Right.
And April 15th, we will be talking with author Lainey Davis. April 22nd, we'll be speaking with narrator Grayson Owens, which that one was a lot of fun too. And finally, we have a very special bonus episode on April 29th. And I have been sitting on this secret for a long time, so I am so happy to be able to talk about it now. We have a group interview with Meg Ann and Kim Lorraine and some of the narrators from the Mate Game series, including Jason Clark, John Hartley, and we were so pleased to welcome back Samantha Brentmore and Stella Hunter. And so it's a huge episode, and we are so excited to be able to share it. And it will be coming out on April 29th. Please join us for that. And thank you for joining us for the Cup and Saucy Book Club. Join us next time for more great conversations with people from the world of books.
And probably a few tangents.
Happy reading.
Cheers.